Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's kind of keep the time to the raindrops.
Yeah. I love listening to the raindrops. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Well, there's a lot to love out there, Susan.
There is today, that's for sure.
Okay. Ich wish.
Well, hello. You're listening to The Clatch on Voice of Vashon at 101.9 on Vashon Island. Mm-hmm. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I will be your host today for the next hour or so.
Yeah.
We have lots of interesting things to talk about. Hope you can join us. Just want to encourage you, please, to download the Voice of Vashon app. It's easy peasy, and you can listen to us and, maybe 100 other shows. Oh, anytime you want to.
That's right.
Some of them are so good. All of them are good, actually. So anyway, load the app. Look us up.
Woo.
And with me in the studio today in downtown Vashon is Heidi Skrypek.
Hi.
And Susan McCabe.
Hello.
Last week I was on Stirring the Pot, and I introduced Susan Powell as Susan McCabe.
Whoopsie.
Oops.
Sorry, Susan Powell. Didn't say anything I'd be embarrassed about.
No. But we fixed it right away.
Good. That's good.
Hi, you guys. It's been a while since we've all three been in the studio. Yay. How's your time off been, Heidi?
1 month. My time off has not been
anything. It's not been time off.
Really time off.
Time away from the clutch.
I'm having withdrawals from you, too. Oh, both of you.
We miss you.
Yeah, we miss you, too.
Well, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. We're going to do it. Do it. Do it.
You've been working hard.
Oh, my gosh. And I got paid.
Mm. All right.
I put my check in yesterday. I was like, this is what I've been waiting for.
CTC, baby.
This is the one. Cash that check.
This is how America shows appreciation.
That's
all
right.
The things I need.
Yeah.
I mean, I like doing good work, but boy, I love getting paid.
I know. It's nice to get paid. Yeah. I like
especially
that part,
when you're doing what you like.
Yeah.
There's another thing I wanted to talk about a little bit, you know, and I want to check in with you too, Susan, but before I forget, I don't know if our listeners know that speaking of getting paid,
yes,
Voice of Vashon producers are volunteer. And are we all? I think we all are.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody our main mission is to keep the alert service going.
Yes.
And so we all spend our time volunteering, and we'd like you to volunteer to listen to us.
Is that too much to ask for, people?
Yeah. We don't get paid. So
it is merely the glory of your listening to us that enriches our spirits.
Exactly.
And
it keeps us going. Yeah. Hi, Susan.
Yay.
Hi, Linda.
How have you been?
I've been good.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. Well, anything new to report?
Are we on a COVID subject?
No, not yet.
Okay. No, nothing new.
In general?
In nothing. General.
Well, then.
Unless you want to hear about aging incontinent cats. No, I have nothing. Nothing to
write. I had one of those once.
We all
know those stories.
I've had those too.
Heavens.
It's a sad and messy thing.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I know.
It's hard to be mad at them when you love them so much, but it's so annoying.
Yes.
Well, and there's really nothing worse than cat pee.
It's kind of like, please get away while I'm cleaning your puddles. That's the thing.
I know, but
she
doesn't know.
Staring at me, and I'm like, it just explains why she was staring in the hallway at my jacket facing the wall the other night. And I'm like, what the hell is she doing? Why is she just standing there staring at the wall? Is she special needs?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Well, she's probably getting a little dotty. She was looking at you and thinking,
I
know this person, I think, but I can't remember who she is.
Yeah. I just think she was waiting for us to leave so she could
do her thing. Aw.
Anyway.
Lucky wouldn't do that. She's not calculating like that.
Linda?
At least in my presence, she wasn't.
Linda, you're a great pet sitter. And you're just the kind of person I want hanging around my animals.
Oh, because thank you.
They just said you can judge a person by the way they treat an animal.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's how I'm judging you, then you're freaking
You can judge
angel.
Me for that because they're my friends. They really are.
So, yeah, life's good.
What about COVID? I haven't read the report this week. Where are we? Do you know? Are we up in numbers?
I'm not going to try and answer that.
Okay,
I'm
we don't
not
know.
Sure. Yeah,
on Vashon.
Yeah, on Vashon specifically, I don't know. I know nationally there's a downtrend, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! keep wearing your masks.
Yes, don't relax.
So I guess my question is, so if we're on this downtrend, what happens when people still aren't getting vaccinated? I mean, at some point, aren't they going to get it? Or is it going to disappear? Is that what they're thinking? You know,
well, I've heard that before.
I think.
Yeah, where did we hear that?
The more people who get vaccinated, of course, the closer we get to herd immunity. However, there are new variants coming up, and they're not totally sure that all the vaccines are effective against the new variants. So, continuing to wear masks, and the governor just said, if you're going into public places, restaurants, big events, etc., you have to have your vaccine card with you.
Yep.
Right.
And wear your mask. So I think that will encourage people to get vaccinated. Hey, if you want to go to a big ball game, you're going to have to be vaccinated.
I think I better get my card laminated.
Either that or just take a phone shot. Exactly. Those are acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, they are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. I can do that because it'll wear out.
And it's a matter of actually finding it on your phone.
There's that for me. I
Among
take a
the photos,
picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's that.
Okay, well, here's a picture of my cat sitting on my shoes.
Oh, I have one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I actually am in Linda's camp. I have it in a little waterproof case, and it works out really well.
I'm a hard copy girl. I don't know what's the matter. I can't get into the, everything has to be on paper. Eventually it goes to the computer usually or my phone, but it has to be on paper before it makes sense to me. I don't know why that is, but it just does.
This feels tangible and legit.
Yeah.
So that's the newest thing in COVID in King County is you got to show your vax card and or have a provider administered PCR test three days out.
Right.
So.
Any news that you know of in the travel with COVID industry?
I think they've pretty well stuck to very stringent protocols in most cases, particularly on airplanes, of course. But
international.
I haven't been on a train. I started thinking, particularly with the pollution factor for airplanes.
Right.
Time to start taking trains on trips.
Well,
but it's hard to take a train to Hawaii.
No, I'm trying to remember because last week I looked up train tickets to San Diego.
Oh, cool.
It's hard to get there. You have to go to LA.
You have to transfer.
Yeah. But, masks are required.
Oh, good.
But I don't know if vaccination is. I don't remember that part. But you have to wear masks.
Last time I checked, which was a while ago, train travel is more expensive than air travel.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Shocking.
Way more expensive.
Yeah. Really?
You know, it's a 37-hour a 37-hour train trip.
Whoa.
And, so I'm thinking, well, I need a sleeper for that. I'm not sitting straight up in those skinny little hard
seats.
Can you imagine?
No doubt.
So I looked, and round trip would be $1,600.
Ooh.
That flight sounded real good.
You know, and the thing of it is the ticket itself is $68 round trip.
Okay.
The rest is for the
$800
sleeper?
A night for the room. So it would be 800 or 16, depending. 37 hours is almost two. I don't know.
So if you got a basic ticket and slept in your chair, it would be $68 round trip?
Sounds dramatically. I'm lying to you. That's to Portland.
Oh,
that's right.
Because I looked at that
bucks
too.
Each
that's to Portland. Okay. Yeah. But it's, you know, like maybe twice or maybe even three times that much to go to LA, but not, I mean, it's under $500 for sure.
Would you rather go by train than by flight for some reason?
Absolutely.
Is it for germ reasons or why?
I don't like to fly.
Oh, okay.
I just don't like to fly, but I do and I did and I have a bunch, you know, if I can take a train.
It's delightful to take a train and they don't pollute as much as.
They don't.
As air fuel.
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, I don't know how we got off on that, but there we are.
That's a good way to think of it. I hadn't thought about it in tons of cubic yuckiness.
Carbon footprint. Planes do a lot more. Yeah. But I recently read that airplane manufacturers like Airbus, I don't know about ours. Anyway, that they are looking at fuel that is non-polluting.
Is that
what does
like
that
a
mean?
Fart that doesn't stink? Amazing.
Yeah, I think it's like a reason to make whole new airplanes.
Okay.
Well, what is it? What are they making it out of?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't know either, but it sounds interesting. Yeah.
That's cool.
You know what else I learned today? Do you know what today is?
today?
On this day in history.
Okay.
Dun, da, da. The OK Corral gunfight happened between the Earp brothers and the Ike Clanton gang.
Earp.
And, you know, I just did a little reading on this, and I thought it was kind of interesting that the gunfight didn't take place inside the OK Corral. It actually took place in a narrow lot on the side of a photography studio.
Oh.
And let's see what else. About 30 shots were fired in 30 seconds.
Mm.
Ike Clanton subsequently filed murder charges against the Earps and Holiday.
Mm.
But it wasn't the end of the conflict. You know, a whole bunch of people died, but they kept fighting. I mean, it was like it was the eternal fight. But in 1881,
wow,
December 28th, Virgil Earp was ambushed and maimed in a murder attempt by the Clanton gang. You know,
Virgil Earp?
Virgil, not Wyatt.
As opposed to Wyatt, yeah.
And let me see, then Wyatt was a newly appointed deputy in Cochise County. And he took everything into his own hands with regard to the Clanton gang and killed him. Then he was pursued by the county sheriff, who received a warrant, and then he still wasn't captured.
Oh.
So,
they really didn't want to capture him?
I think maybe they didn't want to, because he was a lawman too, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, a bunch of people died?
Let me see if I have that. I have a dark alley through that.
In the one shootout?
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of
gunfire. It doesn't say here how many died, but quite a few of the bad guys died.
Who were the bad guys? The Clantons?
The Clanton gang. Yeah. I'm not going to give you a history lesson today, but there's a lot of information about them out there. And they were at war with each other for years and years and years. It's all that sort of territorial, this is mine.
Mm.
It's my woman. That's my horse. That's my house. That's my town. There's not room enough for both of us.
I was wondering the context of the fight. I seriously was curious about that segment of it, so.
Well, you know, I don't know the exact reason for that one, except that they were going to settle this really long score.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Maybe a little more research.
The American tradition of the rugged individualist. If you can shoot him, you can own it.
Mm-hmm. And always rely on your guns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the part two of it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I have a true confession.
Okay.
You have a gun?
Do you have
Have a gun.
No, you are not armed today.
Oh, no. I don't have a gun. I have a squirt gun. I watched Bonanza the other day.
Cool.
That's a confession.
Yeah, that's my true confession.
Okay.
And in this show, Little Joe was being persecuted for something he didn't do, of course. And there was a woman in it who was really a ne'er-do-well woman. But, of course, he didn't know that. And anyway, at one point the good guys came in to rescue him because he'd been kidnapped and something terrible had happened. So they came to rescue Little Joe, and he had grabbed the woman by the wrist because he was going to hold on to her because she was bad and she was going to get arrested.
Mm.
Somebody behind him said, "Hey, Joe, that's no way to treat a woman." And Joe turned around and said, "You're right." And he threw his arm around her and smacked a big kiss on her lips. I thought, you know, there it is. Again.
Yeah.
Yep. Still.
Uh-huh.
That turns my stomach.
It turned my stomach, too, and I had to turn it off.
Yeah. Good.
It's just interesting to look back at those mores that we held at that time. It was just the way it was, people say.
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
We got an antenna, an HD antenna, and we put it on our roof, and we actually have traditional television again.
Like, oh, wow. And how do you like it?
TV. Huh?
We quit cable years ago, and we stream Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Right.
But my dad was maybe going to come for Christmas, and he's a big football, basketball, baseball. So we got this HD antenna, and David hooked it up. Holy mackerel. We get like 50 network. I didn't even know there were 50 network channels. I remember before
God.
It was NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox. And then PBS and a few stragglers.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, it's changed, you guys.
Wow.
It's $119 for this wonderful antenna. And then you get all kinds of channels.
And there's no monthly.
And there's no messing around with the rabbit ears, and it's clear. And there's a TV guide online that exists, so you can just type in TV Guide Seattle, and all the channels come up, so you know what's on.
No.
It's so weird.
That's
cool.
Best news I've heard all day.
I'm dead serious. It's best news you may hear ever.
So you know, tell me, is this thing what is it on the roof?
Yeah, it's an antenna that goes on the roof, and you point it towards Seattle. So that, you know, the little spire goes, the horn goes, the unicorn goes to Seattle, and it receives all those channels. I had no idea. Oh,
you know,
my God.
My husband, when we lost power the other night, went out to our new trailer, which has one of those antennas on the top.
Yeah.
And he said, I was watching all kinds of network TV, 50 channels, same thing.
Seriously. But to Linda's point, it was all this old misogynistic television.
Yeah.
And I was like thinking the same exact thing, because they have some really old shows that are airing and cool old movie channels. And oh, man,
neat.
Times changed, though, in terms like the triggers. Triggers are triggering really hard when you watch this stuff.
And so, but it is, I learn a lot about when you watch that old stuff and you see that, you learn how we got here.
And just think about the lyrics of the songs we grew up with.
I know it.
I mean, that'll tell you. Stand
I've been mad
by
about
your
that
man.
For years.
There you go. There you go.
So also on this day in history, George W. Bush signed the Patriot Act in 2001. So, you know, there we have it.
Yeah, really.
We're so protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
That's what happened.
Don't we feel safer? Yeah.
Okay, also, and I've just been dying to tell you this, Heidi.
Why?
Susan already knows.
What?
On this day in history, lawyer and politician Rudy Giuliani wed his second cousin, Regina Farrughi, in a large Roman Catholic ceremony in Bedford Park in the Bronx.
How far... Tell me how you get to your second cousin again. Is it your, it's not your cousin's kid.
It's your cousin's cousin.
It's your cousin's cousin.
My second.
Because your cousin's.
No.
Cousin's kids are still your cousins, I think. I'm trying to remember how you get to second cousin. Yeah, like how far is that on the tree?
I don't think it's all that far.
Oh, that's so scary.
It's terrifying. But, you know, when I read this.
No, I know, because I have a second cousin.
Okay.
My second cousin is the daughter of my uncle's child.
The daughter?
So your uncle's child is your first cousin.
And then that one had a baby, and
that's your second cousin.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
I think.
So,
I could be totally wrong, but I think.
So wait a minute. This was on this day in history.
Mm-hmm.
When did he do that? When I read this, I thought it was something new, but...
No, it's old.
At age 24.
He was 24 years old.
He was 24 and she was 22. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. In a large Roman Catholic ceremony. In
that's really
Park.
Interesting.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that. So, yes.
how about that?
Actually, no. We said we were going to say whatever we want on this show.
Say what
I'm going to say is the Roman Catholic Church is always happy to accept money.
Boom.
Sure. So, there you go.
Well, I guess... Happy anniversary, Rudy and Regina. Are they still
Rudy
married?
Rudy and Regina, no. Heavens, no.
Not, oh. Good, she's smart.
I don't know if he's even married.
Poor
loony guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to tell you guys a story.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not too long. But I have to say
that you want us to
I don't
stop
know
you.
Any names or dates of this story. But I was listening to Tom Hartman on the radio the other day, and a caller called in.
Okay.
And he said, they were talking about racism. They were talking about how, the whole Afghanistan thing and how people, women in their burqas, and how are they going to adjust to American life? And they were just talking about all kinds of things with Muslims coming over and being here. This man said, I was, as a teenager, he sounded like he was probably in his 40s, maybe late 40s, just judging from a couple things he said. But he said, I was raised in a town that had nothing but Mexicans and white people in it. And he said, imagine that. It was just Mexicans and white people. And then he said, oh, well, we had one Japanese family. And he and his best friend were just, you know, chumming around like you do when you're juniors in high school. And they had a history teacher that they really liked intellectually, but he was a racist and he hated Muslims. It was like Muslims were his target in class.
Mm.
So this must have been in the 70s, 80s maybe. I don't know. But anyway, this teacher got up there all the time and was saying bad things about Muslims. And so these two boys were out walking and talking after school one day. And they said, you know, let's be Muslims. Let's go to class and be Muslims.
Whoa.
And so they said, okay, the first thing we need is a rug, because they had been studying how the Muslims pray.
Oh, the worship.
The five times, the bowing and the worship that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy says, and try looking around for a rug in a town that has nothing but linoleum.
So he said,
let's use our towels, our gym towels. So,
genius.
Okay. So they go into class. And the second the teacher starts talking about Muslims and how bad they are, these boys get out their towels and lay them in the aisle and kneel down and start praying.
Oh, no.
And the teacher's going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then this went on for days.
Wow.
Every time because apparently they were studying, I don't know, Moorish history, whatever. But anyway, it went on for days. And finally... Oh, one thing you said was when they were done praying, just for insurance purposes, they crossed themselves because they were Catholic.
Dun-dun-dun.
That was confusing for anybody watching.
And then he said, after about 10 days, the teacher stopped.
Ah.
And the first day that he didn't badmouth Muslims.
Yeah.
Was the first day they didn't drag out their towels. And he said, we never did it again.
The teacher caught on.
Yeah, the teacher caught on. And it was sort of, you know, the nonviolent kind of.
Yeah.
He said the teacher did say, you're not Muslims. Yes, we are. We can be whatever we are. We're Muslims today.
Ooh.
So.
I like that.
I do too.
That is terrific. And it's kind of interesting that the teacher didn't do anything but ask them questions.
Yeah.
Or but object. Didn't kick them out of
class.
Oh,
no punishment.
Didn't punish them. Yeah.
Well, he might have got called on it.
Well, that's true.
If he did that. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know, but I thought
great
it was interesting.
Story. We're going to take a quick intermissione to say thank you to our underwriters.
Excellent.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
Snapdragon Bakery and Cafe is one of the underwriters of Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9. We offer pastries, vegetarian cuisine, and when it's not a pandemic, we have lots and lots of music and art and all sorts of beautiful things. Until that time is over, please come and visit us and have one of our world-famous cinnamon rolls. Find us online at VashonSnapdragon.com.
And we're back.
Hello. You are listening to The Clatch on KVSH. Okay, so one other tidbit. We have a lot of tidbits today. We have a lot of catching up today.
Cool, I love your tidbits.
So, you know, Orkin.
That sounded funny.
What?
I love your tidbits.
You know what?
Sorry, I'm 12.
Love your tidbits, baby.
Can I? We could go that way. I said something really funny on a different show the other day.
Oh. Damn it.
I'm not going to tell you right now. It'll take us down another path.
Okay.
Anyway.
Tidbits.
Is there anything, have you guys had any trouble with rodents on the island? Do you have?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Everybody does.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay, well, Orkin just came out with their standards, or the standings of which city has the worst infestation of rats. And this year, for the 7th year in a row.
Oh my.
Is Chicago.
Ta-da!
It's my hometown.
I know, but it's the 7th straight year, and they rate the cities according to how many infestation calls they've had and how many calls they have to go on. So, also, but what they said is, you know, the pandemic has affected the rats because the restaurants are closed and a lot of hotels are closed and airports were, you know, it's like it's affected, and they have become aggressive because they're looking for food.
They're hungry.
In places they don't know how to.
Oh, the poor rats.
Well, I'm thinking, no, not poor rats. I'm thinking, ooh, scary. Maybe we should get guns.
I know. I was going to say, it's the OK Corral.
Yeah, for the rats.
Showdown.
But, Anyway, the CDC even said that. The CDC said that rats are becoming more aggressive and to be careful and to take all the cautions that you should take.
Ew.
No trash outside and, all the stuff we know how to do. Keep things away from the doorways and check your house all the way around for any little tiny place where they might get in.
Okay.
Because they're looking to get in your house.
Ew.
Because of the pandemic.
You know, my dad did text me this past couple weeks and said, I need rat traps.
Really?
I have a rat thing happening. I was like, oh my God.
Isn't that awful?
Yes.
I know.
But he leaves. Well, yeah.
Do you want to know who else has bad rats?
Who?
Los Angeles is number 2.
Ooh.
New York is number 3. Denver's number 9.
Mm.
Cleveland's 10.
Okay.
Seattle's not on the list.
No, Seattle's somewhere like in the 15 or 18. We're up.
I would have thought as a port city we'd have more rats, but I guess not.
Hallelujah.
We're just clean people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and are they counting the two-legged rats in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles? Nice. In Chicago and Los Angeles?
Ooh, good one, good one.
There's a bunch of them.
Ugh.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Bill McKibben?
A little bit.
Do you know Bill McKibben?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Bill McKibben is
we're going to do this hero in a whole new show at some point. But right now...
He's a progressive.
Yeah, he's very progressive.
He's at Middlebury. He teaches environmental studies. And he's pretty excited to hear of a divestiture in big oil, corporate divestiture. Not like on the grandest of the grand scale, but it's starting to happen. And that's part of his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting because I still see a lot of politicians like Joe Manchin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are being supported by those lobbyists that represent big oil in those industries. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like we have enough momentum in that direction. And I also don't know until we have good investment, like the infrastructure bill and that's going to create alternative
energy.
Well,
that's true.
The Green New Deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know.
I did
take heart with that because he's got some universities, more in England than
mm-hmm,
here,
mm-hmm.
who are participating and they're not going to take money.
Yes.
From
Oxford,
coal,
Cambridge.
Gas, oil. Yes. Yeah. So
yes.
Great.
Some people are thinking that way, which is good, I think.
It's a start. And
it
more
is a
people
start,
do need to think that way. You're absolutely
mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
We need electricity, and to get electricity, we need, unfortunately, it gets powered a lot by coal in those
coal,
industries.
Yeah,
so.
Manchin is getting a lot of coal money, and the electricity that we have here on Vashon Island comes from Montana, a coal-fired plant in Montana.
And many, 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 many trains full of coal from Montana.
That's
well,
right.
That I don't know, yeah. Are there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, on to the next subject.
Sorry, I'm not trying to be a turn in the punch bowl about that. But I'm just
about
like,
that?
Turn
oh, yeah.
in the punch
Why? Because you're not
I
so enthusiastic.
I love that image.
No.
Just because we're on our way.
It's not enough.
No,
I understand.
Not at all.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that.
Okay.
It's not
well,
enough.
Let me plug Real Talk, because Real Talk, November 9th,
yes.
I am interviewing a gentleman who is an expert on the cradle-to-cradle impact of electric cars, of the making of electric vehicles and the batteries that have to go with them, and that in itself is not an answer either.
I know, that's what I know.
The cradle to cradle impact of that is
what does cradle to cradle mean?
How it starts and how it ends. So if you want to say
cradle to grave.
Oh, cradle to grave, same
better.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your grave is a cradle. Speaking of graves, do you guys do Halloween?
Oh, yeah. I love Halloween.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I have really never enjoyed Halloween. I don't know why. I think it happened when I was a kid and I got blisters on my feet and I didn't like it. And I didn't want to go anymore. But, you know, when I had my own kids, we did some Halloween things, but my kids were,
yeah.
they never had the great costumes because their mom was such a dunce.
Aww.
But anyway, I don't do Halloween, but I do Day of the Dead.
Okay.
Which I like a lot. Were you talking about Day of the Dead earlier, Susan?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who has a friend who's visiting here who happens to be a voodoo priest.
Oh, right.
And we're going to have a Day of the Dead celebration that will include offerings to the the minor gods, the Loa, mm-hmm. and we have to wear purple or white. I'm not sure why, and I don't know what else is going to happen, but...
Oh, that just sounds like really fun.
I don't think
really
we're going to slay any chickens.
Yeah.
That's not really what voodoo is about.
No, no, it isn't.
Cool.
Well, I love Day of the Dead, and so that's what I celebrate instead of... And I really do celebrate it because I like to set up a little altar and get some marigolds. And once upon a time when I was a travel writer, I got to go to Oaxaca and spend 3 days with a Mexican family doing Day of the Dead.
Oh, that would be
fun. Oh, my gosh. I didn't sleep. They don't sleep.
They really don't.
They really, truly don't. It's like, you know, the first day is for the families, I think. And the second day... I forget exactly how it progresses, but the culmination of the last night is something to behold. They prepare for this for weeks, literally. And in their belief system, you have to have mole, mezcal, and cigars, and chocolate.
I could get behind this holiday.
Yeah.
I like this.
And you know, on the family night, they take all the kids to the graveyard and they sit around and tell stories about grandma and grandpa. Aww. And they've got candles and they've got feasting. They all eat and the neighbors are there and everybody, and they're all in the graveyard. It's just beautiful. Everything is candle lit.
Oh, yeah.
And people are so happy. They have these parades you wouldn't believe. And then they have a pageant on the last day. And I thought, oh, thank God it's the last day. Because I was out of breath and tired. And, you know, I just had never been up so long.
Three-night bender.
Yeah, kind of was. You know, I wasn't up for 3 days. But, you know, okay. Very little sleep during that time.
Wow.
Anyway, the culmination of everything is that they have a huge pageant in a big arena. And this pageant is... You know, have you seen the Mexican wrestlers with their great big masks?
Yeah.
So they're there and the kids are there and there's priests and there's nuns. And then, of course, the pageant is about the skeleton, the male skeleton, waiting for the bride, and the bride's been kidnapped. And so they have to go all over town and find the bride. And then they finally find the bride and they have a wedding ceremony of skeletons and attendants. And it's really, it ends at like 5 a.m.
Is there only one family that's the star of this, or is this happening?
No, everybody, it's everywhere.
Everyone's doing it.
Everybody's doing it. It's like Christmas, or it's like any other holiday. I've seen beautiful Day of the Dead ceremonies in Tucson.
Mm.
I've seen them in Phoenix.
So is someone actually getting married in these?
No.
Oh, it's a
pageant.
A dramatization there.
Yes. Okay. It's a dramatoid.
That's so cool. I love
that.
That
is very
It's really
cool.
fun. And the food is just unbelievable. Everywhere you go, people are shoving food down your throat and wanting to just like wheel you around and take you dancing. And you can't imagine the joy that the people share, knowing that they're going to be able to talk to their long lost relatives later, and they're all coming for dinner, and we won't see them or hear them, but they're here.
Wow.
That is such a healthy approach to death.
Well, it is. You know, they combined a lot. The Aztecs and the Mayans were no fools when the Catholics came, because the Catholics wanted no representation of anything pagan, anything Mayan, nothing. So they had crosses and they had all these things that the Catholics deemed important for the natives to use, and they couldn't talk about the other stuff. Well, the natives devised some of their art, and if you look very carefully at art in the churches, you'll see that they fooled the priests. There's little tiny symbols in there of their own traditions and their own belief systems, and they fooled the priests.
Wow.
Which I love.
Well, you know, voodoo is kind of that too. It is.
It is.
It is what the African slaves combined with the Catholicism that was mm-hmm. forced on them by the French
mm-hmm.
In Haiti.
Ah.
And so voodoo is a combination of African belief systems and Catholicism.
Isn't it interesting how much conquering has been done in the blending of all these different countries, and how, I mean,
assimilation.
Yeah, assimilation, I guess. Anyway, that's what I knew about that.
<That's> a lot.
And then I have a little, is it time for our main topic?
I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I just have a little thing that I'll introduce. We're going to talk about marriage today. So I'm gonna just preface this. I read this morning in either in Salon or New York Times, and I just wanted to bring this up. This is Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat from New York. And he tweeted this. We want to point out something to Donald Trump, which is, Donald, they're laughing at you on Capitol Hill. They use you like some cheap mistress for their purposes. Then they laugh at you behind their back. They run away from you when they try to talk to voters in swing districts. We think the former president should know that the Republican Party is using him to raise money, but making fun of him behind his back and trying to distance themselves. Okay. My point in reading that is, fine, I get it, but why cheap mistress, you know? It's like, it's so natural for people to assume a woman, bring the woman into the bad thing.
Right.
This is a cheap mistress, you know, and I know. Maybe it's an overreaction. We're all too tender now. But I just thought, cheap mistress. It's a whole big world of definition when you think about that, and you think about what the man was feeling when he said, just like, oh, she's like some cheap mistress. Yeah. What?
Disposable humans.
Yeah. So,
disqualifying.
We thought we would talk about women and marriage and that kind of stuff. Do you know the first wedding, recorded wedding, was in Mesopotamia?
The first recorded wedding was in Mesopotamia?
Uh-huh.
Like Cro-Magnon? Did they record their wedding?
No, Mesopotamia wasn't Cro-Magnon.
Did they do it in a frieze type of art on a
How was it
wall?
Recorded?
Yeah. Was that an artist?
I don't know.
See, these journalists hit you up.
All I knew is that I read that part.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
All right.
But, you know, it started out as transactional.
Right.
It was all transactional for centuries and centuries, and women really had no say in it. So some of the things that I found out are, number one, do you want to talk about the history first, or do you want to talk about what we think about it?
The history of marriage?
Yeah.
Well, aren't you kind of going there?
Well, kind of.
Let's go there.
Okay.
Go there.
So I'll just stream of consciousness here.
Oh, no.
In the wedding party, well, first of all, the bride wasn't always the eager bride. She, back in the day, way back when, was bargained. You know, her dad kind of sold her. Mm-hmm. And so the bridesmaids in the olden days were not necessarily her best friends. They were her guardians, but they were put there to make sure that she went through the wedding.
Oh.
And went through the marriage and the vows and everything, because a lot of times they didn't want to and they would run away. And a reason that the bridesmaids wear matching dresses is they used to wear dresses just like the bride. Exactly.
Oh.
So that they could all go out and about, because someone was always trying to kidnap the bride.
Oh, interesting.
And this would confuse the kidnappers. And so that just sort of evolved into our Western tradition of, you know, seven brides in ugly dresses, or seven bridesmaids in ugly dresses, you know.
Wow. That's so funny.
Isn't that interesting? And the groomsmen were there to protect the groom from other suitors. They would want to kill the groom so that somebody else could marry his lovely bride.
Oh, wow.
So they had to guard him.
In what culture was this happening? Was this in Western culture?
Europe.
European culture.
Yeah.
I found something here about the best man. The best man is a custom and comes from the quality of a man's swordsmanship.
Yes, exactly. And that's where it comes. That's why the man is on the right and the woman is on the left as you go down the aisle. Because that's his sword hand. And he has to be prepared to whack some heads off if he needs to.
that's what the best man is supposed to do.
Yeah. That's whack pretty romantic, isn't it?
It's a little excessive. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, originally it was just about land, and it was about cattle and sheep and procreation.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 2021, and my son Alex is going to end up marrying his girlfriend in China. She's a Chinese national. They're going to do it in City Hall so that she can legally travel here. But it legitimately, there is a dowry that the family expects to receive. When I asked him how much, six figures.
What?
And I looked it up. And commonly in China, if it's a Chinese boy and a Chinese girl, it's usually like $8,000 or something is the dowry.
Oh, because he's American.
I think that's what's happening. It's because he's American. So I'm like, how important is this dowry to your girlfriend? And he's like, not very. It's really not. It's just that her family will be shamed if we don't have the full wedding ceremony and give the money to the family. And I'm like, well, what are they going to do with all that money? And they said, well, 10,000 of it's going to go to her brother, who they're trying to get married off to somebody else.
Oh my gosh.
Because he's just a slacker.
Well, I'm curious because I always thought the dowry was something the bride had to bring.
Exactly. And then he asked
me, why is the groom bringing
it? That's what I want to know. Like, that sounds bogus. Yeah. I say you just do the civil ceremony and get the heck out of there, man.
Yeah.
Like my take. Sorry.
Well, you know, they do have that shame thing in there.
Yes.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know,
saving face, etc.
Yeah.
So go have the wedding, but the dowry, six figures.
That's out. That is ridiculous. Well, you know, I mean, you don't have it.
What 25-year-old has $100,000 lying around?
Right.
None. That, well, yeah. Not.
Wow.
Elon Musk kid or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so let's do a really quick break and then we're going to come back and tackle this marriage thing.
Voice of Vashon thanks Dental Care of Vashon for its programming support. If you have tooth or gum discomfort, damaged or missing teeth, sleep issues, or need crowns or dental implants, Dr. Demova and her team will bring you relief in a comfortable, caring environment. Call them at 206-457-2744 and find them on the web at dentalcareofvashon.com.
This portion of VOV programming comes to you with support from Vashon Center for the Arts. VCA provides quality arts experiences for all ages and creates opportunities for artists to perform and exhibit their work. Find out what's happening at vashoncenterforthearts.org.
And we're back.
Hello, hello, hello. So, on this, you're listening to The Clatch on Voice of Vashon.
Yeah.
101.9. And we're talking about marriage. Not so much weddings as marriage now. We did talk a little bit about history. But, you know, traditionally, it was a transactional.
Right.
The business situation. Agreement. And then the Bible came in and all that kind of stuff happened. And that's a really sordid history of marriage in the Bible, but we're not going to go there today. but there's a book called A History of the Wife, Marilyn Yalom, Y-A-L-O-M, who's a Stanford historian. And she was talking about how marriage really changed more in America. More from transactional, because even here it was transactional.
Oh, sure.
When women got the right to vote, because women then were considered full citizens. So this marriage was two full citizens, as opposed to a man and a, I don't know what she was, a man
chattel.
Full citizen and a
chattel.
Yeah, chattel and some chattel. And then in the 70s is when it the laws finally started looking at women's rights a little bit and recognized marital rape.
Took
a while. Yeah, good call. Yeah. So, you know, and then we have the religious involvement, and there's a whole bunch of tradition around jumping over the threshold and breaking the glass, and it all comes from the church.
Okay.
All of it?
Some of it's pagan, but the pagans and the church kind of melded their traditions.
Yes.
And the Catholics, or the Pope, probably would not agree with that. But anyway.
Too much ritual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not married. The Pew Research Center published an analysis showing that in 2019, the share of American adults who were neither married nor living with a partner had risen to 38%.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So what they're finding now is that fewer people are getting married.
Right.
Fewer people are having babies.
Right.
So,
for sure.
Yeah. Particularly among millennials. Millennials are waiting longer to get married, if indeed they do. Mm-hmm. And they are, they're living in partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that has to do with the fact that women don't need men in order to survive financially.
Well, they know that now.
Word.
We didn't always know that.
I think that's super valid.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the child tax credit that we have right now happening in this administration. I think our leaders in this government are freaking out because where's the labor force going to be in these future generations?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why they need to provide childcare.
I agree. I'm saying it needs to be more than just a little stipend in your tax thing. Mm-hmm. It has to be all of it. And you can't make, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off, but you know, the Texas thing and making certain procedures illegal and being penalized for that. Or there was some young woman who was being penalized because she had a miscarriage. I think she was in Missouri.
Oh, I heard about
that.
She was being penalized for a miscarriage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like after the 15 or 16 weeks or something. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Holy Moses.
It's stunning.
Insane. Well, you know, I was looking up the advantage or disadvantage of marriage today.
Mm-hmm.
And the statistics show that men get a much better deal out of marriage than women do.
Yes.
Financially, you mean?
Financially and...
domestically.
Domestically.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because,
Perfect.
It's saying things like women who are married spend about 10% more time doing housekeeping chores for nothing than do women who live alone.
Sorry, David. I love you. Thank you. On behalf of my
I love
marriage.
You. Please empty the dishwasher.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
and,
man.
Yeah. Married women spend an average of 3 hours daily on housework compared to 2.5 hours for unmarried women. And, you know, that's an average.
Well, I don't get that.
I know.
Married versus... Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're cleaning up after somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's no education. You know, when men are growing up, they are taught to work on themselves, develop their careers, develop their skills, and women are taught to develop their relationships and to be supportive and how to make hospital corners on the sheets.
And be sure to smile.
Crap like that.
Be sure to smile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and don't threaten men. They get scared. Don't be smarter than they are because they can't handle it. It intimidates them.
You know,
things like that.
It's terrible.
Of course it's terrible.
And tax-wise, single people come out a lot worse.
I know.
That just really is bad. That's really bad. Do you know, speaking of weddings today, do you know what the average cost of a wedding today is?
Hmm.
What would you guess?
The whole thing?
Well, the ceremony, the wedding, the reception, not the honeymoon, not all that.
Right.
$30,000 $30,000
$50,000
It's between $30,000 and $50,000, depending on which source.
How well healed you are.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm old.
Yeah.
But I think $30,000 on a wedding.
A lot.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't get the point. I mean, I think it's supporting an industry. That's all I can see. And you know, the media, advertising, etc., creates a market for the most beautiful, the most wonderful wedding. But I'm a wedding officiant, and I've officiated at a lot of different weddings. The ones that are the most fun and when the couples and their families are the happiest are the simple ones.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Less
stress.
Yeah.
Well, so here's a question coming from a single woman over here. You guys both got married later.
Mm-hmm.
And how does today's society reflect on what you believed when you got married?
The first was time? Your, did, or
no,
the,
no, no, no. I'm talking about current. First time. Everybody gets a King's X on first time.
I love you.
Everybody gets a what?
Gets a King's X. You know, King's X.
It's the practice
safe.
Marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
A mulligan.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why people get married.
I think for me, I've been married 3 times
mm-hmm.
and there were 3 different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
first
good.
One, I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get out of my parents' house. And yeah. I was taught that that was the next thing to right. do. And I really wanted to be a mother.
So what about number two?
Number two was, man, it's hard to say.
She has the funniest look on her face right now, you guys. Her face is kind of twisted up.
It really turned out to be awful. But I think it was for security.
Mm-hmm.
I was very poor at the time. Yeah. I was a very poor single mother.
Yeah, you had two little boys.
I had two little boys. And so I think it was, they were, he was part of a very high-ranking family in the community mm-hmm. where I lived in Central Illinois. They wanted to have my children as their grandchildren.
That's a pretty good reason. It really is. I did the same thing the second time. I had two little boys, single mom. Mm. And I really liked this guy, and he was really good to my kids when they were little. But it was about security. Mm-hmm. I was afraid mm. to have two little boys by myself. And I don't know why, but I was.
Well, it was hard.
Yeah, it was really hard.
We were in poverty, literal poverty.
Yeah, it was hard.
So once that marriage ended, I was alone for over 15 years, and I was having a good time.
You had a good career, too.
I had a very good career.
And now third time's a charm.
Third time, well, according to statistics, it's not.
Oh, really?
78% of third marriages end in divorce.
78%?
Yeah, right. So I think we're doing pretty good. We've been together for 16 years.
That's great.
But we actually got formally married primarily for tax reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our age.
It's very transactional.
That is transactional, isn't it? But, you know, that's interesting. Yeah, it is.
Huh.
I don't think it's a bad reason.
No, we are together.
And you're going to save money. And
All those good reasons. But all those good reasons were created in the 60s and the 70s, which I think created expectations for marriage that probably contributed to the growing divorce rate after that. And if I'm not making myself clear, I'll try. The expectation was that marriage is love and happiness and mm-hmm. the happy ending mm-hmm. and it's a romance. It's not. It remains an agreement, a partnership,
mm-hmm.
yes.
A transactional arrangement. And when you can work together and create a life that is juicy and full of whatever it is each of you want out of life,
mm-hmm.
that's a great arrangement. But it's not a romance. And so clearly everything I've read says the passion fades and it becomes friendship. It's that friendship love that is enduring.
And then you get to keep that.
Yeah, that hangs on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You get to spend your life with your friend and you can count on that person and mm-hmm. You do the best you can together to support each other mm-hmm. financially.
Yeah. I just don't want to end.
Well, no, you don't want it to
I know.
End.
No. Well, you have a really happy marriage. I love hearing about your
Thank
marriage.
You.
Yeah, it's Heidi. Good. You know, let's talk about gay marriage for a minute.
Sure.
Mm.
I wonder. I think if I were gay, I would be married.
Oh,
because for so long, they told me I couldn't.
Oh,
I see.
I think, I don't know. I'm just speculating here.
Well, I think,
but I really am happy for the men and women I know who are gay and they're married. And it seems like their marriages are a little more appreciated than the traditional heterosexual.
With guys, I'm friends with so many men mm-hmm. that are in partnerships,
mm-hmm.
and they have side hustles, and I think that's part of it.
Oh,
I don't know if that's the rule. I don't know, like a bazillion, but there's quite a few.
Well,
I
here's
think
the
that's
other
part
thing:
of gay life, and maybe it just doesn't go away for every marriage.
There you go,
and also. Monogamy has never been the thing. I mean,
yeah, that's a philosophical conversation. Like, we're animal. Are we animals? And we just want to go get our beep on.
Right.
We only have 6 minutes, and we have this one really awesome huge topic that I feel like maybe we should save for another show.
Okay, which is
it's so rich. It's about it's an interesting essay that was published in Substack. Called the Red and Blue Happiness Gap.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that because it's,
and you'll want to hear it.
Yeah, because it's sort of like this marriage conversation in a way. It's like,
oh, it can go on for forever. There's so much to say about it. Yep. Yeah,
yeah.
So we'll wait on
really
that one.
Is. I so anyway, we're talking about gay marriage.
Yeah.
Back to that, and I don't know that I really even have a license to talk about it because I'm not, you know, but I really love.
Yeah.
That gay people can get married now. And I have I don't know if you know this or not, but here's more true confessions.
Go.
I don't go to weddings and I don't go to funerals.
Oh my goodness.
Don't.
The more I learn about you. Fascinating, Linda.
But I will tell you that I've been to gay weddings.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's beautiful that they can finally express their love to the person they love and all their friends and family and society in general. It means a lot to me that my friends can get married to the person they love, no matter what gender.
And be open about it. I think they can be open and feel safe.
Yes.
And I think that goes beyond just marriage. Marriage is a reflection of the culture accepting who they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that has as much to do with it as, wow, now we can.
Mm-hmm.
Those are different, very different things. You're absolutely right. 1984, I went to my first gay wedding.
You did?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I have officiated at a few gay weddings, and they're fun.
They are awesome.
My first one wasn't until the 90s. Wow. How avant-garde you are.
Cool.
Yeah. You know... more little tidbits about wedding history.
Yeah.
The girls used to be sold, if you will, bartered, according to their looks. And if they were really, really beautiful, of course, everything cost more and was more and was bigger and beautiful. But they used to have a place back, let me see if I can find it, in the 13th century.
Whoa.
They had sort of auctions for women, and men would bring a bunch of women to the auction block, and people would bid on the women and take that woman home and marry her, and that would be the one that they got. Well, of course, the beautiful ones went right away, and they claimed a high price, and the ugly ones, they said the ugliest women who did not sell were given away to commoners, along with monetary compensation for their upkeep, like problematic farm animals.
Whoa.
So what culture was this? Who
England.
Was doing this? This was in England.
Yeah.
So these women were slaves.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but they were you think about medieval days and what women had to do. So that's how the whole thing of marriage started, was if I'm a man, I need to buy a wife.
Ew. It's disturbing.
Yeah, you know, and I keep hearkening back to something Lynn Kerrigan said on The Brown Briefly a while ago, and it was in the context of a discussion about abortion, but her comment was, why are we here? When did women get so scary? When did women get so scary that they had to be chattel, that they had to be controlled, that they had to be put down, that everything about them... particularly procreation has to be suppressed.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's something I'd like to figure out.
I don't think you're going to figure that one out. I think that one. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
You know, we're talking about transactional marriage, love marriage, and love really entered the picture in the Middle Ages. Before that, it was highly transactional. And many scholars believe, of course, that the concept of love and marriage was invented by the French.
Oui, oui.
I can see that. That's legit.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I eloped at 22.
You did?
The first time. And it was for love. And it was also to get out of the house a little bit.
I bet.
And then the second time was because I was madly in love with David and I wanted to do it right the second time with my whole family.
You had a beautiful wedding.
It was great.
Beautiful wedding.
Thank you, Bank of Dad, for financing the reception, which was just in, we bought out a beautiful waterfront restaurant and we just threw down this big party. And
oh, how fun.
Open bar and all the good food and all just awesomeness.
Yeah. You're making me hungry.
No, maybe I'd go to that wedding.
Yeah. So we're wrapping up right now, you guys.
Oh, gosh. Yep, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, you can email us at theclatch@voiceofvashon.org. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you for listening.
Here comes KVXHLP.
Oh, is it you?
101.9 FM.
Thanks for tuning in. Downtown Vashon.
They'll be back the second Tuesday.